You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Oh boy, have we got some breaking news, Donald.
Have we?
My word, we're just...
We, plural, it's I.
Yeah, we're just on You've our kept, own here. The only people... Ivan has gone back to the mines over in Perth. And Ivan, is he getting ahead of steam up? He's getting well ahead of himself.
In what way? He's up in first class or he gets preferential treatment?
Man. His absolute big boss in the mining was sitting up the sharp end of the plane while Ivan's down in steerage, and he was actually listening to Ivan speak on the podcast while he's sitting up the front. He didn't even know he's one of his underlings was down the back, and he had a whole new appreciation of Ivan when he realised it was him sitting down the back of the plane. I think he asked him to join him at the captain's club and come up and sit next to him in...
What, on the strength of the podcast?
I think so. Anyhow, Ivan
Isn't
has...
Isn't it funny how this podcast draws different reactions? I went to a function last night and two people came up to me.
Yeah.
Oh, we listened to the podcast. Oh, I'll give you a shout-out. Oh, well...
Don,
it's like little kids. Do you think they hide under the sheets?
For someone who says that they are not interested in going out and are insular and just introverted and don't like to get it, you go to more functions than anyone. What are you got? Sort of you're stepping out
well,
now
I'm a social
due to your
butterfly.
new notoriety of the podcast.
Yeah, social butterfly.
Now, I was telling you, hang on.
Well, while we're sitting down here, first impression, last an impression. You've really got a studio. We need a camera to pick up the ambience of the studio.
Well,
you've really shown the feminine side of your persona, the way we've got a big screen over here, beautiful
Don,
leather couches.
Don.
There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5...
Don.
6 photos of you playing football.
Don.
Does anyone else use this place beside yourself?
Were you cognizant of the fact I said this? We've got some breaking news, and you.
No, I'm not interested in your news. You got coffee over there. We've got Make America Great Again.
I'm storing stuff for a friend of mine.
An old jukebox
I'm
in the corner.
Storing
Does it work?
Stuff for a friend of mine who has to move out of his warehouse. And he is storing some artwork here. It is fantastic, but
well,
I haven't...
Well, there's a nice bit of artwork. She's showing, as you call it, the minge.
That's right. It's a nude.
A nude, but she's got something over her head. Is that art, or is it a photograph?
It's a computer-enhanced image of a photograph. It's quite...
Yeah, and that's art.
Well... That's you're looking at it and making a critique of it, so that's what it is. I'm giving you the breaking news.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Johnny.
The doctor, Dr. Ben, MD, managing Don, he apparently is back from furlough with Jody and the Nippers, and I don't know. He has just been on the role of a lifetime. He's had the highest ratings for his show in 18 months. He belted Jackie O and Kyle. Is it Kyle? Kyle Sandilands. He played for Footscray, didn't he? He's Kyle Sandilands.
Kyle or Sandilands?
Kyle Sandilands is his name, isn't
it? No, West Coast Eagle. No, it was Fremantle, big ruckman, wasn't he? Sandilands?
Yeah, was too. What was he? Aaron. He was as tall as a tree. He was
and there was Laurie Sandilands who played at Footscray.
That's what I'm saying. So this is Kyle, who incidentally...
Kyle Sandilands.
Kyle Sandilands and Jackie O
yes.
are competitors of the Doctors
right.
up in Sydney. And you might remember that Kyle got married to someone, I think a woman, and Anal went to it. He invited Anal.
Did he really?
Yeah. And the Prime Minister came to Kyle's wedding.
Why?
Exactly. So, anyhow, the doctor, Dr. Ben,
yeah.
He's just knocked him off the perch.
Oh, we can talk to him about that when he comes on.
Well, now, there's the other thing.
What?
When he left for furlough about 3 weeks ago, he said, I won't be back for a while, and I'll let you know when I'm back. I've been averse to ringing him because we don't want to...
Do you think that's a soft way of letting us down?
Might be. Right. Mind you, his success might be due in a small part to the fact he comes on the podcast. We have huge numbers, Don.
What, in Sydney?
Well, everywhere.
Everywhere?
Yeah, everywhere. Now, so I'm not ringing the doc, but I've
Ring up and find out.
I've got the phone on, the Bluetooth's on. If he rings in, we can take the call.
Please, Doc, ring. Put him out of his misery.
No, because we love the Doc, and people flock to the podcast when they know the Doc's going to be on. But we're going to let him just decide. He might have been nobbled by the station. We might be too edgy for him.
Oh.
I've got some edgy things to say today. Oh. Don't worry about that. And so that's that. So the doc is on a roll, and he might have rolled over the top of us because he might think we're not relevant anymore.
You've got to really know where you've come from to know where you're going, though, don't you?
You read that in a book, didn't
you? No, I'm just telling you. Do you know who told me that?
Oh, God, this would be good.
I've forgotten.
Yeah, exactly.
I've forgotten. Yeah. Jeez, isn't it shocking?
Yeah, it is shocking.
She worked for the AFL, and she's passed away.
She worked for the AFL, and she's passed away.
Very nice lady.
Yeah, well, she was a very nice
time,
lady.
She was there in our time.
Yeah, I know who that... I know who you're talking about. Yeah, I do. Jill Lindsay?
Well done.
The late Jill Lindsay. Yeah.
And I thought it was really quite profound at the time, Jill.
It still
You've
is profound.
You've got to know where you come from to know where you're going.
And the other huge news, Don.
What?
Do you remember when MichaelChristianMenswear.com said we're going to auction one of the caps?
Yeah, that's last week.
One of the cap, do you remember, I said?
Last week.
It's got Rex Hunt's signature. Rex, what a collector's
item. Is he capable of signing it?
I don't know, I'm not sure.
Did you hold his hand?
What?
Did you hold his hand while
he
signed it?
I'm not sure. He signed it when we went to the Veneto Club. Out in Bulleen.
You did a very
they're
good...
They're still talking they're, about that.
Exactly, and people are coming up and saying, did you an excellent job.
Yeah, no,
they said, he was outstanding. And by the way, it's the 12th of July.
What?
12th of July today.
Yep.
Big night for you. Can I get a seat, or have I got to sit down the back, or have I got to pay full price if I go to the Rosebud Hotel?
No, that's tomorrow.
Oh, Thursday night.
At Don. So
I can bring a crowd along.
Do
you need anybody?
Shut up. So the cap that Michael Christian Menswear dot remember he said we're going to auction it.
Who else's hand did you hold while they signed it?
Shut up, Don. So Rex is on it. The doctor's on it.
Did you hold his hand?
No. The Michael Christian Menswear. I think Ivan delivered.
You ever got Ivan's
name? Ivan especially flew up to go to the doc studio to go out to his house and meet Jody and the kids. I think he could be their godfather. I think he's sending him presents for Christmas.
Jeez, you don't want to open your legs too far with Ivan, do you?
What?
You heard. What's Jackie doing?
Jack's. This is all part of a. Don, pay here.
No, I'm looking at Jack.
I'll tell you what he's doing. Yep. We're going to take this to the next level. This is just a trial run.
Oh, you finally got on board, have you?
Only because you
keep
pestering us.
4 years.
Yeah, well, yeah, you've done.
No, well, shit. You've trying to get past nothing. The control freak.
Anyhow, MichaelChristianMenswear.com auctioned the hat, right?
Oh.
With the doc signature on it.
Yeah, one.
Rex's.
Two.
Yours.
Oh,
you
really?
Know, the Leviathan, four-time premiership
good.
Captain
right.
and 300
Come on,
game
what about
champion.
Johnny's?
Yeah, I'm on it. And,
right across.
And have a guess. It wasn't complete until whose name was put on it? Ivan.
Oh, you've got to be. You're not serious.
You cannot be serious, Don, which is why we call this program that exact title. Mick Christian sent over the caps for Ivan to sign.
Bullshit.
So Ivan's on it. And have a guess. Now, have a listen to this.
Have you got Rod Law?
Well, Rod's not here.
What about Mike Sheehan?
The Rocket and Mike.
Jacinta. Jeez, we got a few. You could have fitted them all on.
They're not here. They're, yeah, Since Michael Christian Menz has got the hats, those people haven't been in the house. They haven't been part of this. So what's the point of having, might as well get Grant Thomas to do it, seeing as he was part of it. Mind you, it'd be good if we got Grant Thomas. So Don, have a guess what the bidding for a cap with those signatures on is.
What is he charging, 50, 60 bucks for them?
No, they were 39 or 40 bucks, weren't they?
I thought he stuck the price.
Have a guess what the latest bid is.
I don't know.
And I think he's
70, 80 bucks?
$650.
Oh, bullshit. Hang on.
And I feel embarrassed. And what we're going
to
do...
it just goes to
prove. I'm making an executive decision on behalf of MichaelChristianMenswear.com up your bum.
Control freak.
I'm making an executive decision.
What's that?
We're going to give... I'm going to read it out. Hang on. Where is it? Just let me read it out. Michael... Here we are. Here. G'day, Sam. The clubhouse leader... Oh, it's not knocked down to him yet. The clubhouse leader is $650 is Ryan Andrew, the cattleman from Palmerston North in New Zealand.
What?
At the pub, he sees.
Well, I cannot.
It's a cattleman from Palmerston North in New Zealand.
Are his cattle safe? Because sheep over there apparently
are safe. I'm not sure about the sheep.
Sheep are in a bit of danger over there, aren't they?
Yeah, no, gumboots are a big seller over there.
Fred Dagg, do you remember Fred Dagg came from New Zealand with his gumboots on?
Yeah, John Clark.
Well, we used to listen
That's
to
him,
Fred
John Clark.
Fred Dagg.
Yeah.
In the 70s.
Yeah, g'day, it's Fred Dagg.
On the John Amey show.
Yeah.
What's happened to John Amey's?
John Amey's. He was keen on you.
Do you think so?
And
I thought you were kind of a
He was keen on both of us, which just as friends. So gumboots. Gumboots are very big sellers in New Zealand. Do you know that, Don? Don, come here.
Why? Because you can nail them to the bedpost.
No, because they get the hind legs of the sheep stuck in the gumboots, and then they can give them a real tooling. Anyhow, Ryan Andrew, the cattleman from Palmerston North in New Zealand.
Could he wear it to jail?
And the bidding closes next Tuesday night, which is before on the eve of our next show, the next podcast. So,
what's his name? Ryan?
Ryan Andrew. So, Don, this is extraordinary, and if... whoever is the winning bid, I'm going to make an executive decision. We'll give them just an ordinary unsigned cap. We'll give them an unsigned cap. We'll give them a polo T-shirt. We'll give them a bucket hat.
Hang on, this hasn't gone to any meeting.
Well, I'm doing it now.
Oh, you do everything.
I do. You're quite right.
Yeah, you're a control freak. We cannot.
While we're on it, it's gone to $650. I don't know. I'm not sure if it's a tax deduction, because this is not a charity. It's Michael Christian Menswear charity. It's him and the Ayatollah. They're going to, if they can sell.
She makes nice Anzac biscuits. I've got one left.
And don't eat it on
I've
mic.
Eaten one.
I don't
already.
Eat it on mic. That's an. So while we're here, I'll just do the shout-out because I've mentioned Mike Christian. The shout-out also to Shaz. Shaz from... Have a guess... No, I know. It's silly to say have a guess where she's from. Shaz is from Brunei, which is in the Arab Emirates. And her name is spelt S-Y-A-Z, but it's...
S-Y-A-Z.
It's pronounced Shaz. It's pronounced Shaz. He's put it in brackets.
No, it's she or he.
Well, that's a very good question. Shaz would be signalling as a woman, wouldn't it? I don't think you're allowed to signal...
But he could be an Arab.
Let me assure you, Don, if you live in the Arab Emirates... there's no such thing as a transgender. You are either a man or a woman, or they...
I think they're under... They're a bit like those swimmers last week. I think they're underground.
They take an extraordinary large birch to you if you're pretending you're something.
There's an underground movement over there.
Want to be right underground, because if they're sprung by the authorities, it's gone. So this is Shaz from Brunei, and also, just while we're on it, also to Billy Hodges, who has been a keen bidder for the cap also. Also, Phil Winder from Wallington, Victoria, who always listens as he drives through the outback. And here's another one. And also to Paul Thal from Launceston, Tasmania. He is in airport traffic control. That they're the shout-outs from Michael Christian Menswear, dot bomb up your coit.
Well, I've got one from Patrick Alleget.
Hmm?
Alleget.
Spelt?
E-double-L-I-G-E-T.
Alleget.
Alleget.
Well, Alleget.
Alleget.
Alleget. Yeah.
Morning to Peninsula Blues Events Proprietary Limited. So he's obviously a promoter.
Do you know him?
Yes, because...
He came and said, give us a shout out.
No, he didn't. He complimented us.
Now, I've got some big topics. So, and finally, this the shout out. I don't know that the world's greatest real estate agent he lives in Brighton. And I'm not sure that I should mention the name of his company because he has got onto the podcast. I can't mention his name, JP Dixon. And he has suddenly discovered the podcast. And he
after 4 years.
Well.
Have you burnt him?
I've burnt him. No,
well, I mean, if you were in contact with him, you should have said to him 4 years ago, we're doing a podcast. Why has he just discovered it now?
I don't, whenever I meet friends of mine, I don't say, oh, you're going to listen to our podcast.
No, you haven't got that many friends.
That's right, I haven't. Unlike Ricky Nixon, who I went to his 60th.
I was going to ask you that.
So JP Dixon, we're giving a shout out to him and all his staff who told him how to download the podcast. He said, how do you get onto podcasts? I said, mate, ask someone in your office who's under 25 years younger than you. They'll work it out. So he's listened and he likes it. He can't believe you, Don.
What about you?
No, he can believe me.
Tell me about Ricky Nixon. That would have cost him a fortune.
So we go along to Ricky's...
No. The costs.
Well, no.
He would have rented that crowd.
Mind you... There was, he reckons there was, so I made a bit of a speech and the people were nice and alcoholically propelled and I think there might have been some analgesics on board as well.
Really?
I don't know about that.
What, Ricky, a lot of headaches.
Ricky wasn't on analgesics.
You sure?
No, I'm sure. And people were nice and oiled up and I made a bit of a talk and then Wayne Carey made a talk and then Ricky said, mind you, it was his birthday 3 months ago. Do you know that? April was his birthday. But
you all had something in common. You all had something in common, the speakers. You've all had facelifts.
Wayne Carey and Ricky?
Well, no, he didn't. You and Wayne.
Wayne's had a facelift.
Oh, God, is the Pope Catholic?
How do you know Wayne's had
a facelift? Well, just have a look.
Take your hand away from your mouth.
It's all right. I've got to hold my head up.
What? How do you know Wayne Carey had a facelift?
Please.
Well, what do you mean, please?
Have you watched the news on these? What about the news readers? They've all had facelifts.
I'm talking about Wayne.
Is this fashionable to have facelifts
nowadays?
I'm
talking about Wayne Carey. How do you know he?
Look at him. He's got slits for eyes. He looks like you used to look.
Slits?
For you used to look like that.
I was speaking to him at the function. He didn't have slits.
Well, it looks like it on camera.
Well, because he might squint into the bright lights.
Oh, is that what it is? Is that what happens when you have Botox?
Well, so we've got the sun streaming through the window here now, and you're squinting at me.
Of course I've got to try and see you.
That's right, because you've got light in your eyes, Don. That's the only thing you've got behind your eyes is space, and that's where the light goes. There's nothing else behind.
Space in the cranium.
That's correct. Now, Don.
Talking about
I'm finishing Nicky Winmar. Nicky Winmar, Ricky Nixon, and that Freudian slip. Warwick, mind you, Warwick Kappa texted me and he said, I won't speak how he speaks, but he said, are you coming next? So those big rivalry that he gets bigger numbers. He said, I hear there was only 90 at Ricky's place. There wasn't 90, there was at least 200 people there. And Ricky got up to speak and he said, you know, when I was down and out, he said, I got some advice from someone, me. He said, Sam Newman, he said, you're going to find out who your friends are, and he's quite right. So I've gathered together these are my friends in the room. 200 people. I said, I couldn't put my hand on more than six people. I called my friends.
Well, you're lucky. You're doing better than me.
Yeah. So we between us couldn't we couldn't get a handful or a fistful.
No.
Nicky has 300 of his closest friends there.
I told you he's renting them.
Well, no, they all.
And just
there.
Looking at the pictures in the Daily Mail, they all look the same.
Yeah, anyhow, there was
a... You featured in your... you just been for a run before you went to
that. I went in my shorts.
And your running shoes.
My best shorts.
Yeah, I know, but you just look like you've been for a run somewhere. Why didn't you get dressed up?
Who's walked through the past then?
When she realised Ben Fordham's not on, she'll go straight out the door and back over the West Gate.
She might know something that we don't know. She might have been in touch with the doctor.
Oh,
she's just stepped into the podcast.
She's
area.
Just very coy.
Come on, Phoebe.
She's very coy.
Sit down here, Phoebe.
She's done her hair today.
One.
She's really made an effort. Yeah,
what?
She's brushed her hair.
Wait for this question. What do you say, Phoebe?
Where's Ben?
Holy mac. As you walk past the window, Don said, she's here because Ben's coming on. Now, we're not sure if Ben's coming on. Do you know something different?
I know nothing about what you have arranged with Ben today.
No, I've arranged nothing, Phoebe, because when he went on furlough, he said, he sent me a short text, he said, I'm away. He said, I'll let you know when I'm back. So we're just waiting with bated breath. I'm not going to ring him. If he rings in, the phone's on, and but he's you know, he's gone to the next level with his show. It's knocked Kyle and Jackie off the... off the top. He's now number one.
He's back at number one.
Best ratings in 18 months.
You could ring up and subtly do a story and find out our position with him, Fiona.
Anyhow,
you'd be very subtle.
Do you want me to ask if you're still on his
a
good
contributor.
List? We
think he's outgrown us. We might be a bit edgy for him. His management might have said, hey, listen, you better distance yourself from those people.
I think he's pretty edgy.
So what have you two been talking about?
Well, so we were talking about Ricky
Nixon, your mate.
Oh, where's Ricky? I thought Ricky would come in today to talk about his party.
And Warwick, he said, I hear there was only 90 at Ricky's. There was probably 200.
Did you go, Fiona?
No, I didn't.
Why didn't you? You're the social writer. This was a big social. It made the Daily Mail.
I left it to Sam to go to this particular party. I felt it was for true believers, and I may not have been a true believer. I don't wish him ill. I certainly wish him well, but no, I wasn't there.
A very nice piece about the Friends Only Wine Bar. What's it called?
Between Friends Wine Bar.
What?
You know, the person that we interviewed here, Matt, and the mistress, and said...
You know, I didn't ask them a couple of questions.
Well, Phoebe did because she...
Did you ask them whether they were swingers themselves, Phoebe?
I did not ask that, but I did write a story based on the podcast interview.
Saying that AFL footballers are there and politicians and people.
Which is what Matt told us.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, and that story has really taken off. A lot of people read it and they're listening to the podcast and talking about the podcast.
And what Phoebe did was she said that she heard it on You Cannot Be Serious and we're waiting for the editor to put a line through that.
No, but we've got to. We just.
But the editor left it in.
Editor.
The editor left it in. So
who's the editor nowadays?
Cut it out.
We'll send a shout out to him.
No.
Is Patrick Carlin the editor? He was.
What, in the late 60s?
No, he wasn't. He's a very good writer.
Anyhow, so that was in. And
talking about personalities, I've got one down here. Was he there? Dean Laidley. What has happened to Dean Laidley?
Danny.
Oh, shit. Sorry.
Dean is who he was.
Oh.
Now he signals as Danny.
Oh, okay. Danny Laidley.
That's dead naming him. You know that?
What do you...
You dead name people if... He was a bloke and he's now signalling as a woman.
But what's happened? Fiona, what's happened? He was bigger than big 12 months ago. He had his own book. He was doing this.
The book is excellent. I will encourage people to read the book. It's actually a fantastic book
Danny
Laidley wrote.
Why
won't
he come on the podcast?
Well, have either of you asked recently?
Yeah, I've asked him several times when he first transgendered.
And
I asked would he come on, and I had quite exchanged a lot of texts with him. I've asked him, but I'm not going to keep... We don't like to pester people like James Heard. James Heard said he'll come on 12 times, he said, but he never turns up. So we're not pestering him anymore.
So Danny has a documentary coming out later this year, which is complete. I don't know if it's been delivered yet, but it's...
Who's doing it?
Jam TV.
Jam.
That's Eddie McGuire.
Yes, company.
He's an opportunist, isn't he, Eddie?
Eddie's a businessman and he's extremely good at what he does, and that is one of the projects that Eddie's team's been working on. So that's been delivered. That'll be on air. I would imagine that's probably looking at around... I would guess, I don't know, I would guess around a September release.
Do you think he'll need publicity for the documentary? He might come on then.
Well, Don, get on your phone and ask.
Yeah, do you ring up Danny or Dean. Listen, Eddie is a star. He got that. Did you see Ian Chappell and Ian Botham at...
I didn't watch it. What was the was the finale
to
that?
The whole finale was...
The bottom, there's got to be a bottom line. Did they make up at the end?
Not at all.
They didn't shake hands.
Ian Chappell was so intent on keeping the angst going. It was a bit embarrassing, I thought, for Ian. I don't know Ian that well, but Ian Chappell. But surely...
That was back in 78 at the Hilton Hotel.
I know, talk about holding a grudge.
I think Botham was playing for university as a visiting youngster, and Chappell was at North Melbourne.
Yes, Ian Chappell was playing for North Melbourne.
That was Jam TV. That was put on.
So it went for how long, the doco...
It went for 45 minutes and the last
and there was no outcome.
The last 5 minutes was them meeting. All the rest was their highlights. Well, it was just good stuff.
Did they sit opposite one another or was it just separate grabs?
They fucking sat opposite one
another. Well, they would have had to acknowledge one another.
Well, they did.
They did.
Of course they did.
They did. You can watch it on Nine Now if you want to.
Nine Now.
I can put it on this television here for you.
I interviewed Ian Chappell before that. Went to air, that documentary.
Yes, so go on.
And it was, I said to him, you know, because this grudge has been around since 1977, and I said, why have you said yes to being part of this documentary if you hate Ian Botham as much as you do? And he said, because I didn't want him to sit there and repeat his version of the story from back at the Hilton Hotel in 1977 without anyone challenging him, without being able to challenge him. So,
but of course the illogicality of that is that there wouldn't be a show if both Ians didn't agree to it.
That's correct.
So Ian Botham wouldn't be there just saying what he wants to say if Ian Chappell wasn't there, or else you wouldn't have a show. So that was a bit silly of Ian Chappell to say that.
But I really like Ian Chappell because he just doesn't back down. And when I asked him what it was like to sit opposite his nemesis, for want of a better word, he said that it was terrible. I mean, he just was so direct. And that
who was direct? Both or Chappell?
Chappell. He was. When I said, you know, what was it like to actually sit down and
confront,
thrash it out, whatever? He's like, terrible, absolutely terrible.
Because one was a commentator and one was still playing.
They showed all that on the
docker. Oh, did they?
They showed all that when I think who. The man who used to compare sporting events for... Go on. For Nine.
Benno. Richie Benno?
No.
Which one?
Ken Sutcliffe.
He came out with... he came out with and did the... oh, my God, I can't think of even...
Jeez, you're going ratty.
Who's the wildlife broadcaster from the BBC?
Richard Attenborough.
Yeah, David. He hosted David Attenborough's shows out here. Oh, big name on Channel 9, big Ray Martin.
Ray Martin.
Ray Martin stood in between them when Chappell and Botham were commissioned by Nine to do... This is 30 years ago, and they wouldn't even speak to each other then. Ray said, oh, this is going to be interesting when we hear the cricket starts. And they still weren't speaking to each other then. So Phoebe.
Can I just add, actually cricket, just to add to that point, it's parking the Botham side of it. Chappell says that Bazball is a load of crap.
What's that?
Bazball. You know this...
No.
So
well, he doesn't watch it.
The style of cricket that the English are playing against the Australians in the Ashes, it's been described as or termed as Bazball.
What's that mean?
it's just a bit of a more aggressive well,
it's different. It's different to the traditional way. Like Stokes is coming in down at, I don't know, number six or something, and he's taking them on like it's a one-day game.
But his point, but Chappell's point is actually valid because he says it's not changing. It's not changing the way cricket's played.
Well, you can take something away from it. You're challenging tradition.
Well, he argues that all that the English team is doing is actually getting out there and from the first ball of the match wanting to win.
Yeah,
it's about taking an aggressive stance and not sitting there and playing to sort of hang around for 5 days. It's about, okay, first ball of the game, we want to win.
So what's his point?
Yeah, what is his point? What's wrong with that?
His point, it's nothing wrong with that. He thinks it's great, but he thinks sort of putting
it. He just said he didn't think
no,
it was
he said
great.
Putting a term on it and talking about this as a revolution in cricket is.
Well, it hasn't been.
Not.
I can't remember it being done in Test cricket before the way they're approaching it. I think it's really quite novel and interesting. The other thing with the cricket, Fiona, have you noticed what the players are wearing?
What?
Well, Australia look dirty and unshevelled. They're wearing creams.
Dishevelled.
Dishevelled. Creams. Whereas the English are pristine white.
But creams has always been the traditional
colour.
Well,
that's what I'm questioning.
I'm laughing at you because are you suggesting they should get, what, an Omo sponsorship or something like that? Or perhaps
one has, I think. It's a bit like, what was that, Omo? You're right on. Because the English look, very, very
the creams
smart.
Look fantastic.
No, the Aussies have got the creams. They look dishevelled.
Well, because they've got creamed...
Creams, whereas the English...
Bullshit.
English look pristine and, very, very smart. They're in white.
You stupid man.
No, I'm not. You don't even watch the cricket. So
I'm just telling you, if you came in here in a nice cream pair of slacks and a cream sports coat, you wouldn't look dishevelled.
It's a bit like Wimbledon. I love Wimbledon because everybody's forced to wear white.
Yeah, good on you.
The tradition.
Yes.
And do you notice the old T-shirts come back into vogue? Back in the 50s, you know the old T-shirt without a collar? It's back in vogue at Wimbledon. Has been for a couple of years.
Same in the golf. You used to have a collar on your golf shirt when you play golf. Now you can have one of those little knits.
What?
Knits. They're things that you itch.
Knits, you mean?
Yeah, no. It was spelt with a K, Don. A knit. Not a knit that's so.
What are you wearing, knits or knits?
You're wearing me thin, I'll tell you that. Now, there's been a couple of sackings. First of all, they've kicked the Jew off the ground up in the Gold Coast.
You're being Semitic.
Yep. It's play on words. They've kicked the Jew off the ground. Stuart Jew has bitten the dust. And my point of saying he's been sacked as the coach was... Now, have a listen to this. I don't know who the CEO is. It's either Mr...
Evans.
It's either Mr. Evans or Mr. East.
He's the chairman, isn't he?
Well, the chairman or CEO, I don't know.
Well, chairman, one's...
They made the statement and they were interviewed and they said, he has the full...
I know.
So hang on. The full support of the board, and if he's... performance is good till the end of the year, we will renew his contract. So the words hadn't stopped ringing around the room and he was sacked. Now, what I want to know is either Mr. East or Mr. Evans are pathological liars or they genuinely believed that he would stay and last the distance and the AFL stepped in and said, no.
Why would the AFL step?
Why do you think, Don? Because things aren't going well on the field. So why would they come out and say they have the full support of the board and the next week, almost the next day, he was sacked?
That's an interesting point.
I would say the AFL have said do something, or not do something. They have just decided that he will no longer last.
So, do you think this edict came from Andrew Dillon, the incoming chairman, or do you think the past or present or
he's still the current?
Do you think he wouldn't have done that?
Someone has done it. Either, as I say, Mr. East or Mr. Evans are liars.
He doesn't operate like that. He doesn't operate like that.
They're either liars and knew very well that he wasn't going to last the distance or someone has come in over the top seeing as they've given him everything and still can't get them to succeed and have rolled them out of business. So that's the first sacking. And the second is that this won't be quite... but Ivan told me this. Ivan texted me and said, did you know that Daniel Ricciardo, who used to drive for Red Bull, has now been given the seat in the AlphaTauri F1 car, and he's replaced Nick de Vries.
Yeah, the Dutchman.
Well...
because he hasn't made a top 10 podium, or no, top 10 finishing.
Yes, this is a bit like the Gold Coast. They are not going too well, the Gold Coast, and Nick de Vries wasn't going too well, and he's replaced him overnight. And Daniel
Ricciardo. So there's two Australians. There's
yes.
Oh, God. Come on, Pistor? What's his Christian name?
Piastri or
Piastri? Don't spit, you're spitting. Well,
because when you say...
That's how COVID spread, while you're talking and spitting.
Have you had COVID?
Yes.
Yeah. I haven't had COVID yet.
Well, I've had it.
Oh, good. Well, and then you can spit all you like.
How many injections did you have, by the way?
How many what?
Injections did you have for COVID?
I had the two wait till we get onto the COVID bullshit.
You spat again.
Wait till we get onto the COVID bullshit. My teeth.
Well,
mandatory injections, or... this government wouldn't let you step outside your house or go into a shop. Wait till we get... I've got this on a topic next about the absolute disgrace that was and how people are being intimidated and victimised for even having a stance against the COVID and the vaccinations. I won't mention who has taken a real belting over this, but someone who listens to this podcast, and they said they are... take a terrific pasting.
They've taken a belt.
They have taken a pasting for saying what we say, because I don't want to embarrass them.
Oh, okay.
Because they're quite prominent people. And they've taken a belting over the fact that they might have a difference of opinion about what the vaccines did and who organised it and the disgraceful action that this government took under the auspices of Brett Sutton and the nonsense that we had to endure about... the vaccinations not stopping infection, transmission. It didn't quarantine the virus. It didn't make places safer. It didn't validate curfews. Masks were a waste of time. Lockdowns were destructive. Sandrakes. Remember when the Premier said sandrakes in bunkers on a golf course? You couldn't touch them, so they wrapped plastic.
No, well, don't be critical. You've got to compliment.
Compliment
Brett Sutton. Brett Sutton's been recognised for his good work over COVID.
Yes.
No, he has. He's been Victorian of the Year.
Yes.
And he's also been promoted. He's in charge of the CSO. He'll fuck that up as well.
Thank you, Don.
Well, he will.
Thank you, Prince Rainier. The government fines were illegal. The health experts were mendacious in their... I know, I looked at you then. Mendacious means they lied. They're dishonest. And they rewarded people who completely shut this city and state down. They rewarded people like you just mentioned with being given the Victorian of the Year status.
Did they get their legislation through the Labor government where you cannot sue...
yes.
Bureaucrats for a decision made that is detrimental to business or society?
So the...
now, hang on. Have they...
yes.
They've passed that bill.
It's about to be tested, because Mr. Sutton is about to be called to court to testify on a whole number of things, and they made him the Victorian of the Year just so it gave him some credibility. I thought, this is a good bloke. What, Phoebe?
I'm just shaking.
No, don't you comment, Fiona. Now, listen,
belted for even having that opinion about all those things because they tried to brainwash us and strong stormtroopers. This state went round the world for its strong arm
tactics.
Yeah, but
hang on, what about the current state of this state? Isn't it remarkable how they're trying to claw back the deficit we're in? Land tax, unbloody believable. The way
fines.
They're penalising people who have another property somewhere. I mean, our little friend over the road will be... anyway, we won't be saying anything there. And also how they're not criticising, but looking at private schools...
yes.
With regard to payroll tax... They are, and the races, unfortunately, the people who punt are now going to pay, and there's more races. So they're worse than a criminal organisation,
all right, government, now,
when it comes to gambling and so forth.
I'm going to try and get a topic that Phoebe can be part of. So
what about netball? Did you like the netball last Saturday night, Fiona?
I didn't watch it.
But why?
Because I had some other things to do last Saturday.
Why doesn't it get more publicity? It is sensational to see those ladies, the athleticism. It was held the grand final at the John Cain Arena. Is that the main tennis centre? Is that the main?
No, court? Margaret Court.
Well, I should have.
No,
had
Rod Laver is the main arena.
Okay, well, I should have had it in the Rod Laver arena.
Rod Laver Arena is the main court.
Two interstate teams played, Adelaide and Sydney. Yet the place was jumping. It was packed.
But that can hold just as many people. Anyhow.
A magnificent atmosphere, ambience, very well presented.
Well, while we're on it.
And why don't the papers, why doesn't the Herald Sun pick it up? It's the best league in the world. Players from the West Indies, England come across and play in this league.
Speaking of the best.
You're not even interested in
it. I am. I'm going to follow on from a great women's.
I'm talking about women's sport. Why hasn't the AFL.
I was just about to.
I'm going upstairs. Sorry.
Why?
Go on, keep going.
No.
Well, hang on, Fiona. If the women's, they're pushing the women's football, it just shows you it's not making an impact because the AFL can't get their act together and give the woman with the women some direction. We don't know when the competition's starting. They're after more money. The thing's not rating on TV, so it's not making money. I think it's real drain on them.
Could I run this past you, Phoebe?
Well, hang on. I've tried to stimulate a discussion here, and you're not even interested.
I'm on exactly the same topic as what you're talking about. But when I started to say, speaking of women, you said, no, hang on a minute. I haven't finished with the netball. I was getting on to women's sport. The Matildas, let's hope.
I'm looking forward to them playing.
Good. I'm glad I got your attention there, Don. The Matildas, who let's hope they can bring home the bacon, as we say.
No, I don't think they will, but they'll be up there. Do you follow the soccer?
Jesus Christ.
Do you follow the soccer?
I said the Matildas are about, let's hope they can bring home the bacon in the World Cup women's soccer, FIFA, whatever it's called.
I don't think
who knows if they can or not. But we'll be supporting them. But have a listen to this. The slobbering suck-up, who is the boss of the Matildas or FIFA or whatever it's called, James Johnson.
No, hang on, there's a woman, isn't there, in charge?
Well, James Johnson, who's head of the league, they said the FIFA people will help show the true colours of Australia by flying the Aboriginal flag.
Yeah, they're doing that.
Why? That's not the true colours of Australia. The true colours of Australia are our national flag. And why we have division between the people who watch this sport from overseas and say, what are the two flags for? Aren't they united under one flag? And why they're allowed to do that is beyond me. Why we're allowed to fly any Aboriginal flags anywhere is beyond me. If you want to change the flag that we fly under, we'll change it. Let's have one flag. That's...
Linda Burney's coming out and saying a couple of things. She's going around the country promoting The Voice, and she's bringing up things of, you know, lack of education or something wrong within the
indigenous. She's promoting The Voice.
Yes. I can't understand why these issues haven't been addressed, because they've got various departments, committees and bodies, indigenous bodies. Why aren't these problems surfacing now and before?
Yeah,
and The Voice is going to correct all these problems.
Because they're just clambering for the opportunism of the day. It has been.
Did you see that thing in Western Australia where they, I think it was Geraldton, they tried to plant some trees? A fire went through a reserve and they were going to revegetate, plant trees again. And I think it was in aid of the Queen or something, you know, Marker. And an elder said, no, that's not on.
Well, was completely...
An Indigenous elder said it's not on.
And was completely encouraged on by a man called Alex Volkanovsky, who is obviously not from Australia, but he is an Australian, and he won the World Cage Fighting Championship over in America. And when he was introduced into the ring, he knocked out. I watched him. He belted the living suitcase out of everyone. And he was so proud to be in Australia. He had the Australian flag draped around him. No other flags, just the Australian flag, which recognised the country that he's from. Not the division of the country he's from by having seven different flags wrapped around him. And good on you, Mr. Volkanovski. At least you've embraced the country that you've adopted.
What's that got to do with Geraldton and the planting of trees?
Well, it's about the indigenous side of things, Don. The fact it's a clamber, it's the pandering nonsense that goes on. Who wants to do this? I noticed that the two people wanted to open a freeway or a tunnel over somewhere, and the two factioning groups, the two groups who were arguing, two indigenous groups, was who would cut the ribbon, and they were all shouting at one another. Who?
Oh, that was in Perth as well.
Yes. Who had the right to cut the ribbon? God almighty.
You've got so many different... I don't know how they're going to get a consensus, because in days gone by, you know, there was friction between the various clans
tribes around
Australia, and they look like, when you look at a map, there's hundreds of them.
And that's exactly why...
What do you mean?
That's exactly why Federation was introduced in the 1900s, because we came under one country, one bond, one constitution, because they couldn't settle. People were fighting one another, all the tribes, so they said, let's combine. And we did, and now we're trying to divide each other by going on with all this nonsense. Vote no for the voice. That's what the podcast says. That's what I say.
Hang on, what podcast?
This podcast.
No, hang on. Don't you talk for other people. Let them make their mind up.
Right. Well, we get bombarded with the ads for saying yes.
No, you shouldn't. Well, what it you is vote? A conscious
what,
vote.
Well, what are you voting?
I would like, I don't know where I'm going,
that's
but
right.
I would like, hang on, I would like more information. I am not getting any
there
relevant information. I'm getting a bit from this and a bit from that. I don't know what to do.
Well, I read out the information, the ambered claim they made, the 10 bullet points they made. You said, oh, that's not real. It was real. It's been confirmed that it was real. The 10 bullet points of what the people want as an ambered claim for The Voice. I could read them out again.
This is going to cause a lot of angst,
of course,
within Australia. But maybe we, as baby boomers, we've experienced.
You're not a baby boomer.
Yes, we are.
Are you?
We are.
'78. You're a baby boomer.
Yeah, we were born after the war. We're a result of the Second World War.
Well, we're not millennials. What are millennials, Phoebe? Phoebe's.
Generation X or
Phoebe
Y.
Phoebe has selective deafness. She hasn't heard anything we've said, and that's good. Mm. But I'm just over to you, Phoebe. Could you tell us what a millennial is?
No, she's now doing what they do on the ABC. Finger talk.
Oh, that's signal. That's sign language. Are speaking.
Yeah.
How ridiculous is that?
That's catering for a certain group
who
in society.
Can't hear.
Exactly. I think it's a good idea.
Turn the television up.
If you're deaf, you can't. Doesn't matter how high you have the bloody thing.
Well, then
thing. Put
the subtitles under it. People just...
They might have dyslexia.
Oh,
you can't read.
In that case, don't turn the television on at all.
Well, you've got to get the news.
Get some audio
I think
books.
It's a great
get
idea.
Get some audio books. Or maybe they're deaf. Oh,
they are deaf. That's why they... Finger.
Get some braille books.
No, they can see.
Oh,
geez, you're a
fair dinkum.
You've got to cater for the minorities.
Now, the Age wrote up about Dally Messenger's 50 years of celebrancy.
He hasn't had a... Really?
They're 2 weeks late, The Age.
Celebracy?
Yes, celebracy.
No, that means you're abstain.
No, it doesn't, Don. If you're celibate...
Yeah, it means you don't have sex.
Yes, I know, but
I don't
celibacy.
Think you should. I think you better find a different word because he might be upset about that. Because he was a minister of the cloth.
It's celebracy. Anyhow, The Age got onto it 2 weeks after we interviewed him, so they gave him a nice write-up and good on Dally.
How's he going with his COVID?
Yeah, well, he's recovered since you nearly killed him. I play golf. I did say last week I played golf at Medway with him, but it wasn't Medway, quite rightly, you correct me. It's the Westgate Golf Club I play at.
Royal
Westgate.
It's under the bridge.
Under the bridge.
You'd have to watch your drives because you hit them a long way and high too. You'd get them caught. You might knock a...
No, you
could cause an accident on the Westgate.
Just give a warning. Make sure you turn left when you go over the bridge and not right, because that takes you to the brothel where I ended up. And a bloke was telling
so
me...
So you go to the...
Ever listen to this, Phoebe? A bloke was telling me at the golf club, he said that someone, a friend of his, has invented a ball, a golf ball, that when it gets within 4 inches of the hole, it automatically goes in, which he said, make a point that you don't put the ball in your back pocket.
When you've
completed the hole.
He said that. He had problems.
Phoebe got that. That went straight through. You are the dumbest man. Seriously.
Well, she's smart. She's as smart as a whip, Phoebe.
When it gets within 4 inches of the hole, it goes in the hole. It's a new golf ball.
Well, what has it got? A tracking device.
And he said, make sure that, though, when you pick it out of the hole, you don't put it in your back pocket.
Well, it's got a tracking device. That finds the hole.
How dumb is that man? Is it extraordinary? You are just a fuck. Honestly, nothing more than an amoeba.
Phoebe, now your electricity bill, bugger lugs over here. What?
We're coming back.
Why?
We've gone for 50 minutes and the attention span of people around the world.
But I was just having fun.
Well, we'll have fun. Having fun. Gee, laughing boy himself. Why don't we close it down and you come back with some of your fun topics in a minute, all right? Here we go. Now, which one am I pressing here? Oh, God, I can't. Which one?